for this evening's consideration. Is the audio okay? Can you hear me okay? Yes? Okay. All right, well, we are in Matthew, believe it or not. Oh, what happened, everybody? Oh. We are in Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Let's go ahead and read that real quick. The Lord is speaking. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That's a very appropriate section of scripture for all of us today, considering the events that swirl around us constantly. But before we look at that, let's take one verse back and look at Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And I was thinking about that word serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the word is to be a slave to. So you cannot be a slave to God, and you cannot be a slave to riches at the same time. So we are being told by the Lord himself that we are to make ourselves slaves to God, as Romans 6:22 also says. "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." We should not worry about our lives. If we make ourselves slaves to riches, then we have something to worry about. Because when is enough truly enough? Who knows what is waiting down the road that could wipe out all that we slaved for? But when we make ourselves slaves or bondservants of God, then we need not fear the future, because nothing can wipe out or exhaust God's provisions. So, Matthew 6:25. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" The thought here seems to be that they were eating today, but worried about what they would eat tomorrow. They were clothed today, but worried about what they would wear tomorrow. And remember that these were Jews that the Lord was talking to. They all knew the story of Moses and the wandering in the wilderness. Had not God already proved that he was faithful to provide food and clothing to an entire nation for 40 years in the desert? Exodus 16:35 says, "And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan." And Deuteronomy 29:5 says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. So the question is, can God really provide you and I with food and clothing? Of course he can. But of course he can, it's easy to say yes he can, when all the shelves at the grocery stores are well stocked, and the racks in the department stores have clothes galore. But what about recently, when a lot of the store shelves were bare? Was there worry in your heart? And be honest. I have to be honest because I don't think it was the first time for me when I saw the shelves bare. It was the time after, and the time after that, and the time after that. And I would be lying to you if I said that I didn't start to be concerned. That's so much different than worry. Right. If we have worry even when we have an abundance, imagine how these Jews felt who were hanging on every word that Jesus spoke. And in today's standards, these people had nothing. And yet, it was to them that the Lord said, don't worry about your life. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The point is pretty simple. Not only can we look at the birds as an example, but God provides for every creature that he has created. So since we are of more value than they, would he not also provide for us? For animals, gathering food is their prime objective every day. But for us humans, we have a higher calling than simply providing for the needs of the body. We have been given a mind to try and comprehend the Almighty. We have been given a spirit in which to commune with God himself and appreciate all that he is. Animals do not have these gifts, so it is no wonder that we are of more value than they. Because the fact that birds and other creatures do not plant food or gather in the barns mean that they simply sit around waiting on God to drop from heaven the proverbial worm into their mouth. Of course not. Birds and all other creatures are busy about gathering the things that God has provided for them. The creatures of the world work with what they have been given. So we too must work with what we have been given. As a matter of fact, we have been commanded to work, as the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, Paul says, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. There is one thing, though, that the animals do not have. That is our ability to worry. I've never seen an animal worry, have you? Matthew 6:27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Stature here means length of life or span of life. And cubit could be used as a figure of speech, like in Psalm 39:4-5, where the term handbreadth is used. You have made my days a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before you. So it could be used as a figure of speech. The NASB translates this verse this way. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Now, whether this verse is saying that by worrying you cannot add 18 inches to your height, or that you cannot add a single hour to the length of your life, the point is that neither of them are possible by worrying. And I was thinking of a certain king named Hezekiah, who wanted his life extended. I guess he was worried about dying. So God granted him an extra 15 years, but it did not work out well for Hezekiah, if you remember. And this falls under the heading, be careful what you ask for. Any comments on verses so far? No? Okay. Matthew 6, 28 and 29. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But whether we look up into the heavens and consider the birds, or down to the ground and consider the flowers, God is teaching us that he clothes and feeds his creation. Matthew 6:30 says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And now is when we get to where the rubber meets the road. O you of little faith. Worry equals little faith. I can't help but think of the disciples in the boat as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. To me, it's a perfect example of little faith in action. Matthew 8, 23, 27 through 27 says, now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. And I'm sure when they said that, it was a lot more dramatic than the way I just said it. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, so that the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Little faith in action. Verse 31 through 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The nation of Israel was supposed to be different from the world. So are we as believers in Christ. Don't be like the rest of the world with worrying. Seek, that word where it says Gentiles seek, it's to wish for, it's to crave, it's to demand, it's to clamor for. The Father knows that we need all these things. And it's like John Glock said on Sunday. You remember what the little saying that he had on Sunday? God what? Come on, do it with me. God knows. God cares. God reigns. Yes, he does indeed. Let me also say that if we do not get a handle on our worries, worry has a big brother. Does anybody know what worry's big brother's name is? No? Oh, come on. Somebody give it a guess.
Fear?
Fear! That's right. And fear involves torment. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All the previous verses have been leading up to this verse, for it is the key to all things. We must seek God first and foremost, and then all these things shall be added. It is like the first fruit offering in Exodus 23:19. They were to bring the very first of the first fruits of their land and offer it to God. This was an act of faith toward God, because the way crops were planted in those days, not everything grew up like they do in today's farming. If you sought God first, then he would add the harvest to you. So when we put God first and seek him with all our heart, then all these things will be added to us as well. Lastly, Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Proverbs 27:1 says this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." So we should neither worry nor boast about tomorrow. James 4:13-15 puts it this way, "Come now you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. For as you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Who can say a hearty amen to that? And I was wondering if any of you could think of a time where you needlessly worried about something and God still proved himself mighty. Anybody have a time when that occurred in your life? Not one, huh? Well, you guys must have this worrying thing down.
I was just going to say, Steve, there was time, I guess 1999 when I had prostate cancer. Not prostate, it was colon cancer that time. And, you know, I guess your first instinct is to worry about it, you know, is what's going to happen, you know. I'm going to have surgery, I'm going to have chemo and all this kind of thing. So, but you know, God really gave me peace about it, and He answered a prayer to me that not to worry about it, you know, as you've been speaking. And I think once you realize that God is in control of all things, He's in control of your life, and I think I came to the point where I knew that I could do nothing for myself. I was only in God's hands. So that was a time in my life that I really learned that it wasn't worth it to worry. That's just making things worse. And God comes through, as He always does.
Amen. You know, Laura Jo feels that she has to worry double because I don't worry enough. And that worries me. I tell you, the time that I can think of the most where I really truly was worried was when Laura Jo was pregnant with Cassie. I know all of you know the story, but Laura Jo got very sick with Cassie when she was about 6 months pregnant. Every time she would eat something, she would be in such pain that she was literally, and I mean literally, ripping the hair out of her head. And of course, that was throwing her into labor, which was not good because Cassie wasn't ready yet. So, make a long story short, we had to go to the hospital. And while Laura Jo was pregnant, they thought they discovered what the problem was. And so they took her gallbladder out. Well, a couple days later, we were thinking, okay, that may be the issue. But she had dinner, and sure enough, after about 10 minutes, she was in the exact same pain. So I was really, really troubled, to be honest. I was worried because she was losing weight. She looked like a concentration camp victim who was pregnant. I mean, her face was all sucked in, her shoulders, it was not good. And now she's like 8.5 months pregnant. And anyway, 8 months. Anyway, it was not good, and the doctors didn't have an answer. And she had a whole team of doctors working on her, and she was getting worse and worse. And I honestly felt that I was going to lose my wife. And I remember going to sleep one night, and I dreamed that I had Laura Jo in my arms. And I was walking to the throne, and God was on the throne. I took her, and I laid her in his arms, and I immediately woke up. And beloved, I don't know how to explain it to you, but I had such peace in my heart because I knew that she was in the Lord's hands. She was in his hands. Medical procedures, doctors, they didn't have an answer, and only he had the answer. And it gave me such peace, and I remember I shared it with Lori Jo the next day, and from that point on, honestly, I just had true peace that God was going to do the right thing, the best thing. Yeah, well, he's still here, if you haven't noticed. And so is Cassie, and everything worked out fine. But, you know, worry can really, really tear us up, and it's extremely harmful for us. So we, in all seriousness, we need not to worry. I was thinking of these. Did anybody else have anything?
Steve, I have two, and this is Jeff. Cheryl, and the cancer that we've been battling now for 4 or 5 years, most of you know about that, and the Lord's provided us with this drug Tarceva that seems to be doing the job. And of course, we can relate so well to Lauren and Judy. And but the Lord's providing for them also. He can do amazing things, the drugs that are out now and all. But the other one, and some of you have heard this from me before when I've given my testimony at the chapel, but when I was in service, I was an officer, and I had spent a couple of years just sitting behind a desk. I figured I was going to Vietnam, and I got orders for Vietnam, but the Lord, in his wisdom, decided to change those orders when I was about, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks from my port call, and sent me to Okinawa, and that was a real story in itself, which we don't have time for. But I thought, since I was waylaid to Okinawa, that I would go over there and sit behind a desk for another 15 months, and then come back to the States, or if it was his will, I'd be going to Vietnam after that. But when I reported to the battalion commander in Okinawa, I was a first lieutenant, and I figured I would get some staff job, maybe in headquarters, and I went in and saluted him, and he said, Lieutenant Norman, you're the new commanding officer of Delta Company. And I said, sir, there's got to be a mistake here. I said, I'm a first lieutenant. I said, sir, I've done nothing but sit behind a desk for 2 years and read magazines. And he said, well, son, you're an OCS officer. You know how to stand an inspection, don't you? And I said, well, yes, sir, I used to. And he said, well, the company you're going to be commanding hasn't passed an IG inspection in over 2 years. And that's what you got to do. And he said, and that might be the easiest part, because in all honesty, you're not getting a good company. And it was so bad that the previous company commander, the only reason he hadn't been relieved is because his father was a major general. And whenever he left, though, they relieved the first sergeant. It was really a shambles. And this happened on a Friday afternoon, and he told me that Monday morning at Reveille, he would be introducing me to my company. And that was the two longest days of my life. Well, I trusted in the Lord. We had been members of a Baptist church in Newport News, Virginia, where people really trusted the Lord for things, and we did as well. And whenever I went to the BOQ where I'd be staying that weekend, I don't think I ate but about one meal, and I spent most of the rest of the time in prayer. And you talked about turning it over to the Lord. I guess it may have been sometime that Sunday that I finally said, Lord, you must have a purpose in this. I can't do this. I'm not able. I don't have any experience. And wow, I was only like 25 years old, and I was going to have all these, a bunch of grown men reporting to me, and the others, a bunch of raw people who were 6,000-7,000 miles from home and didn't want to be there in a terrible climate, and they worked in the greasiest jobs you can imagine, rebuilding truck engines. But anyway, as I say, I turned it over to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to do this. I can't do it. And I rested the rest of the weekend, and the Lord blessed me with a great first sergeant. He reported to me Monday, sometime after Reveille, and we took what, no brag, the Lord took what was the worst company in the brigade, and I passed this IG inspection that the old man was so excited about. After doing that, he stayed out of my way. He just told me if there's anything that I needed to come across the street and tell him, that he wouldn't be back bothering me anymore. And by leaving me alone, I was able to witness to some of my men. I was blessed to lead two of them to the Lord. I took a bunch of them to church with Cheryl and myself on Sunday. And for you folks who have been in the military, you know the military does not let you do things like that. You have to go where they want you to go to a chapel, but you don't really hear the gospel. But the Lord just really blessed our lives. But he can do mighty things whenever we get to the end of ourselves and we say, I can't do it, Lord. If it gets done, you're going to have to do it.
Amen. Yeah, it seems like that's always the case, isn't it? When we come to the end of ourselves, that's when the Lord steps in. We just need to get to the end faster. We need a faster process to get us to the end. Now, I was thinking about these three phrases. Yesterday is gone. Today is all we have. Tomorrow may never come. Right? Yesterday is gone. Today is all we have. Tomorrow may never come. Now, if we truly live our lives that way, are fruitful, then our lives will be precious. So I'll leave that with you all. Why don't we go ahead and spend some time in prayer, and just a few brothers will lift these things up before the Lord in prayer.